39YPA Mobile.
WB9YPA. Good morning, Mike. 88MUI. Stephen Walker. How are you this morning?
KD8MEY, this is WB9YPA. Good morning, Steve, or is it noon already?
Not yet. About 10 minutes left. Was listening to the radio and heard you toss out your call saying you're portable or mobile. So, like, well, hey, somebody on 220, let's say hi.
Thanks, Steve. Good to hear from you. As always, hey, I tried to check into the net that one time, you know, when, and what happened was the link, All-Star got, the link got severed. So I don't know what happened there. I, for some reason, yeah, I think, and I don't know, I'll have to look and see how my clock is set up, but I don't think that I'm set up to disconnect from the KA8DUX node, so I don't know. I think maybe they disconnected, but anyway, I missed out on the net, so sorry about that.
No problem. I know that everyone, you know, because Glenn's got his KA8DUX hub, and that basically ties in your repeater, my repeater, John's repeater, I believe Mr. Moses' repeater over on the east side of Michigan. And it's set up to basically disconnect and reconnect various repeaters to different networks at certain times. But I ran into him last Friday at the IRA potluck, and he said that his machine, for some reason, if it goes over, I think he said, like, 21 days of not being, like, rebooted, it just has, like, a breakdown and, like, it disconnects or doesn't connect properly and stuff like that. He's got to set up, like, some kind of an automatic reboot or something like to that effect, so. But I don't think you do, but I just wanted to double check and make sure. Are you okay with me having the net on your machine? You know, because right now, basically, it's basically on Saturday night. It's just the 220 stuff that's linked to UX's system, and then I link in the local radio club's repeater on 2 meter and 440 here in Grand Rapids. Over to you, Mike. KD8MEY.
Steve, I have absolutely no problem with that. I don't think I have anything set up on Saturday afternoons. So, yeah, you're more than welcome to set that up to connect to mine. So, yeah, no problem. Yeah, and see, yeah, he's having the same problem as the trustee of the machine, the 220 system in Valparaiso. There's a bug in it, and if it goes so many days, then it goes nuts. So, yep, there's a problem in a certain version number or something, and that's why I'm afraid to do an upgrade. But, see, I'm using Ham VoIP. I'm using the alternative. The other one, what do they call that? They've got a name for it. Maybe it's called All-Star, but the one I'm using is the other. It's the alternate, and it's the one I downloaded that one off of for the Raspberry Pi. I downloaded that from the hamvoip.org site, and I'm pretty sure you know what I'm referring to.
Oh, yep, I definitely know, because All-Star was the predecessor. criticism or a disagreement or something happened in the All-Star group, and I think a couple of them left, and then they started doing the Cam voice version of it, and that was actually the better version because the development of the actual All-Star one had just been calling the fall into the wayside. Well, finally, the folks at All-Star finally got somebody or a couple people that coded and made a completely brand new version or updated version 3.0, which is what Glenn has upgraded us to on his DUX machine, and the ham voice is still the alternative. So, yep, I know what you're talking about. So, and I know Glenn says he's got some work he's got to work on that. You know, it's just it's different to a point. And, you know, he wants to put in, the messages back on there, or for each repeater and, do some stuff. But he's just been so drowned in work and projects, he just hasn't had the time. So, but yeah, there is a problem with I think it was actually with both of them, that, once they got to a certain point, that unless I, and I don't have the information to go in and reset his machine, his central hub, if it doesn't get reset so often, it just, it breaks down and things aren't connected properly. Over to you, Mike. See you anyway.
Okay, very good, Steve. Hey, I'm at a business here, and I've got to straighten out a problem with a server they're having. They can't print. Well, I tell you, they're still on Windows XP, and they're having trouble. It got stupid yesterday, or the day before yesterday. The guy can't print, unfortunately, so I've got to go and straighten that out for him. Then I'm heading into I'm heading to Bryan, Ohio. So, okay, very good, Steve. Yep, yeah, I'm afraid to upgrade. I don't want to break what's working. I'm having absolutely no trouble with my node controller firmware. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. Okay, very good. Thanks for coming back to me, Steve, and talk to you. Maybe if you're still around when I get out of here, I'll give you a call. This is WB9YPA South Bend. I am clear.
73, Mike, can you take care? I'm going to kind of curious as to when or how long you'll be over in Ohio. I'm heading there next week. But you take care, and hey, it could be worse. The FAA is still on Windows 95. Just for a moot point, and a little bit of a laugh. So you take care, and we'll stay radioactive, and we'll hear you on the other side. TV anyway.
KD8MEY, KD8MEY, this is WB9YPAC. Are you still roaming?
WB9YPA, KD8MEY, yep, checking into the noontime roundup net, and I'm still here. Hopefully your Windows XP problem wasn't too difficult.
Yep. No, the old DOS program that this business is still using runs, it's on Windows XP, but it's a DOS program. It's a database manager. And it didn't know how to print to a Unix server. The guy's got a Unix-based type of server in there, and that Unix server is a print server, so I had to tell DOS or the Windows XP. I had to tell the DOS part of it how to find the print server.
Well, that's interesting. Let's make this all really complicated. Let's use this OS. Use DOS for our basic communication sitting here right in front of you right now in front of my computers. I have a Linux box that's running Mint Linux, and I have, unfortunately, Windows 11. Rather stuck with 10, but you know how Microsoft is. But I went to college for Unix Linux system admin. And, yeah, they're completely different operating systems the way they work. And I don't know if they're actually running a true Linux or a true Unix system, because that was written by Bell Labs, you know, back in the day, and is completely different than Linux, because Linux is Unix-like. It has very similar structure and commands. So, interesting to know. Over to you, Mike. Tell me why.
Yeah, let me go to high power. Okay, that should help. I'm getting out here, in Elkhart County, out here way east, so I'm not sure if I'm hitting the repeater too good, but the server he's got, it's not like SCO Unix, it's actually running what's called NetBSD. So it's a Berkeley software distribution. And it just sits there and it just works. You know, I don't ever have to deal with the server. Because it just works. And of course Linux is very similar to it. Linux is pretty much the command structure, everything is all identical to the BSD Unix. So if you know Linux, you'd be able to deal with the BSDs. So he's got a server there he's got like a few workstations there that access it and all that, and his. And so the database manager actually stores the stuff on one of the Samba shares that server serves up. So that's what's going on there.
Well, that's kind of interesting because, BSD, you know, you got free BSD, which is kind of the open source Unix. I think Polaris, I think, was another version of it. But that makes sense. Hey, Unix, Linux, my Unix box or my Linux box, other than updating the software, I don't have to do much. I do use a graphical user interface on it, but I also know how to do a command line, which I'm pretty sure if you were operating with DOS today, you had to go back to command line and tell it, hey, this is what you need to do. Go look over here for this. it's kind of interesting that, where Linux is not very widely used, and I go to DistroWatch, and look at, see what's upgrades and different versions that are out there, but I've run different versions of it, or distros, over the years. I started experimenting it with back in the 1990s when you had Red Hat and Zeus and Mandrake, where you could buy them off the shelf at Best Buy. And, it's really kind of tearing into it and trying to do something different, because I didn't like Windows, and I absolutely hated anything to do with Apple. So I wanted to go a different way. There you have it. Over to you, Mike. Katie, anyway. In the group.
Yep. That sounds like me in a nutshell. The free BSD and NetBSD and those, and OpenBSD, there's a few of those. And what a cool operating system. I think, man, for open source an open source operating system like those, they're pretty hard to beat.
I would completely agree with you on that. I haven't messed with too much on the Unix side, but on the Linux side, I've run Red Hat, which was okay, but it's mainly focused at enterprise. My original, you're going to laugh at this, my original install of Linux was Slackware. And Slackware is it runs, it's almost unkillable, but you have to know what you're doing because you have to go in and configure and compile everything yourself. It's not just insert a disk and do a couple, random things, and it's all set, like Red Hat, SUSE, and Mandrake were starting to do at that point. Slackware was definitely a very steep learning curve for me, but it gave me a lot of knowledge. So after Red Hat, I went to SUSE, and kind of stuck with that for a while. I really didn't like Mandrake too much. It was just too restrictive, too controlling in certain aspects, which I understand from the security aspect, but when you're running Linux, are we really worrying about that as much as, like Windows? It's not that open. So, yeah. But, I went to GRCC, got my Linux units, system admin certification, and stuff like that. Nowadays, I did try Ubuntu. Didn't care for it. Went back to OpenSUSE for a while. Now I'm running Mint, which is a much kind of cleaner, simpler distro. But there's just so many different flavors of Linux out there that people are confused. What do you pick? What do you run? I remember back when Windows was kind of a thing that was kind of in work and had hoped that it would come to fruition, but it died. So over to you, Mike. Take me away.
I remember Windows. I've played with Windows. That was decent. Everything we're talking about, it just blows anything Microsoft that ever came out with. And I was really disheartened when Windows bought the rights to, when they took over, off here. Oh, I got it. There, I got rid of the 2-meter site. That was driving me crazy. I'm like, they started Windows off on the wrong foot. And then there was Windows 3.1.1 for work groups and all those, and it's like, oh my gosh. And then DOS, when DOS came along, it set computer technology backwards by over 10 years.
Well, yeah, DOS was kind of the four predecessor to Windows, and you had 3.1, 3.1.1. When you had the graphical user interface they stole from Xerox. And you went to 95, and 98 second edition, 2000, ME, or Microsoft Money Edition, because that's all it was, hey, we're just dumping this out at the same time as 2000 to make money. And XP came along out of the Windows operating system. There's only really one that I have any respect for, and that was, 2000. It was an MT-based system, but it was very secure, very stable. You couldn't kill it. Unlike Microsoft Money Edition, and XP that had all kinds of bugs and problems, 2000 just worked. yep, I believe that Unix and Linux are a far superior system, but the problem is they're not as user-friendly. You have to have some knowledge. Ubuntu has made great strides in trying to make it more for the daily user, but it's really not. People still haven't gotten there yet. That's because everybody uses Apple and Windows. That's all they know. Oh, you might see me anyway.
That's funny. Yeah, Apple also stole from, Steve Jobs stole the Apple, that set up from Xerox as well as Microsoft. Both of them did. Yeah, you're right. I don't know if I'm going to lose your nuts, Steve. Let me know if I get too noisy. So I'm out here east of, what do they call the name? Bristol. I'm out east of Bristol, so I might start getting pretty noisy in the machine. And then I'll be going, yeah, we'll see what happens. Do you remember the Amiga workbench? Did you ever play with the Amigas?
KDMEY. Well, you're still, you're not too noisy. A little chop here and there, but you're not too noisy. And Amigas, no, I never got a chance to play with the Amigas. I got a chance to play with, my age. I'm 49, I'll be 50 in January. So my first computer that I learned on was the, Radio Shack Candy E, I think it was, which was completely different. But then when I got into middle school, we had access to the Apple IIe's and the library and the Commodore 64's, or what they taught us on for our computer keyboarding and whatever classes. And then finally when I got into high school, finally into the Windows. But that's kind of my legacy, my transition of the different computers I had access to as a child in my school level education. But, Amiga and what was the other one? Odyssey, I think, was the other one that I was interested in, but never got a chance because they were way beyond any price point that, and obviously, I could ever buy or my family could really want to buy. So, oh, you might, anyway.
WB9YPA Mobile. Okay. Yeah, very cool. Very cool. My first computer was a Heathkit ET3400 trainer that had a Motorola 6800 on it. Yeah, it was a Motorola 6800, and that's where. That was back in 1976, I think. Yeah, and I cut my teeth on machine language programming using with that Heathkit course. And then I stepped up to the Motorola 6809 CPU that was in the Radio Shack color computer. So there you go.
That's kind of funny, Candy, Radio Shack, that's the Radio Shack brand. But my actual very first PC that I actually bought myself and owned, you're going to laugh, this one was a Zenith EZ PC. It had 2 3.5-inch floppies where I had to load DOS. And it came with 512 memory, KB. Then I bought this nice little expansion box that went on the back of it, and plugged it in and screwed in the little screws that came with it to give me a 300-baud modem and expand my memory to 640 kilobytes. Over to you, Mike.
Yeah, that was a lot of memory. The largest memory map that I worked with up until I got into, I think it was the Atari ST-1040, which had a megabyte of RAM. But the Radio Shack color computer had 64K. Oh, and then there was, then I made a modification to it and took it up to 512K. And that, of course, was all, you know how that worked, that was all page switching, because the Motorola 6809 could only access, all in one shot, 64K memory map. So, you know, that was only a 16-bit address bus.
KDMUI returning. And, it's funny how some of that older technology probably would still work better than some of the stuff we have now. It was built on better quality boards. It may not have the efficiency or, but basically the efficiency for, what we need or desire, but it's a basic level of functionality. It would still do the job in some general purposes, and it was much more stable, and probably still is. It just, they want to make things so complicated and add all these extra bells and whistles that it just kills anything. I mean, you got, and it's Linux, but, Google has completely changed the way it works and everything else, and, there you go. And then they have their Chrome OS that's even more different. Let's take something that's free, let's alter it, customize it, instead of just leaving what works. Or do you might see me like?
Yep, I concur with you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so many things are so convoluted now, it seems like, anymore. And things, Windows, like, for instance, Windows. Windows had to have, you had to have a minimum drive space of, like, maybe 40 megabytes. Or for like one of the
environments. You need to upgrade to this system because we're not supporting this system anymore, but hey, we need this much space on your hard drive, and then you need to have a drive that's this speed, and you have to have this much RAM so we can take up 75% of it so it can run in the background in your memory. Yep, good old Windows. Here's one for you, Mike. SCSI. I miss SCSI. Over to you, Mike. Give me one. WB9YPA. I think I lost you, Mike. You might have got out of range. Can you hear me?
Yep, 73, Steve.
All right, 73, Mike. You take care. Give me one.
You are.
Good morning, sir.
Good afternoon. Whatever you want to call it. My sleep schedule in the last 24 is a little bit upended, so I don't actually know what way is up right now, but good something to you, sir.
A good something to me is, you know, at least something. We were talking about dumpster fires. The fire keeps getting bigger. Not just from the, what we were talking about at the cookout, but now it invades my personal life. Not from them, but on a different scale. So, but I didn't want to hold that discussion on the air.
Yeah, roger. Sorry to hear that you're going for a spin on that. That's never a good thing, but that's what they got the twisted pair for.
Yeah, something like that. They expected me this morning. I replied with a direct message. Evidently, the new interest decided to text me back. Oh, that's been an interesting conversation. So, with that, I will just leave it to your imagination. Over to you, Glenn.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, my brother. It is all good.
But hey, you have to say, you're surprised to find me out here on 220, aren't you? And I am as well to hear you. I know you've been under a lot of deep projects and stuff like that. It's definitely run you pretty hard. But good to hear you here on 220. Let's make it great again.
Yeah, I did two half shifts overnight with a nap in the middle of them. So I finished my morning about, I don't know, we'll say 10:30, 11 a.m. is when I finished my shift. Went up, took care of a problem with the wife's car up at the office. Went home, took a nap. Well, sorry. Went towards home. Went to Meijer. Went to Home Depot. Took a nap. Got up. And here we are, we're off to gonna go grab coffee with the wife and drop some stuff, drop my new scaffolding off at the at my storage unit. So keeping it around and figured since I was on and the sun was up, I might as well poke the bear and see who's out here.
Well, funny you poked the bear and you found me. I'm not quite a bear. Try to be. I would think of me as more of a fierce cat. You back me in the corner, you ain't gonna like me. But you approach me, you know, I'll be gentle. I am not looking for the firestorm that this is gonna bring because you're gonna be trying to call me. I'm not going back down that road. I nearly had a stroke because of the woman. I am not going back down that road. Yay! And her friend, who's known her since 14, you know, decided to step in and everything. And like, well, this is her phone. Why are you replying? Did you see your message you sent? Yes, because I know her and her personality. Da 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 da. I'm cursed. I am so freaking cursed. Over to you, Glenn. Katie, me what?
Oh, the twisted web we weave. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm trying to make it a habit of getting back out here on 220. For a while there, Ruiz and I were really pretty good, and when we were running around doing the service calls, we were always on 220, you know, chewing the fat, so we could get a, you know, get a kind of a good social net going, but then life happens, so I'm trying to unlife life and, you know, get back to the fun things, playing radio.
Well, that's an important thing, and that's what I was doing today. Get the insomnia test this morning, took a brief nap, then got up and checked into the noontime net. So I've been monitoring my 220 repeater, and I talked to Mike, WB9YPA, a couple times already today, and now I'm talking to you, so hey, we're getting some activity on 220.
Fantastic, fantastic. I think I'm going to have to put a pause in my activity here on 220 because I'm about one rotation from where I need to be, sir.
Understood. I think I'm going to probably actually turn the radio off and get ready for damage control, if you understand what I mean. But plan to jump on and do a couple other checks into a few other nets, but I have a funny hunch. Just a little, you know, prick in the back of my mind that a firestorm is going to be coming my way, and I'm going to really just irritate somebody by, like, hanging up on them, ignoring them, and everything else that I can do, because I don't want to actually associate with them anymore. With that, you have a great day, sir. 73. KDA-MEY will be clear on your final.
Roger, buddy, roger. Well, batten the hatches, full steam ahead, and good luck with it. We'll catch you a little later down the log. KAABUX.
Stay radioactive, and we'll hear you on the other side. KDA-MEY 73.